I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 1 o'clock, and that means it is time to go to the Mattress Warehouse Hotline and welcome onto the show our radio.com sports NFL insider, Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans. Catch Ross every weekday on Home and Home, his new show out now on radio.com/home or search home on the radio.com app. Go check it out. Ross, thanks for joining us on Grant and Danny. Danny is out with strep throat today, so I'm solo. But I want to start with Lamar Jackson and the unbelievable performance last night. When I see this offense, the word that comes to mind is efficiency. What stands out for you?
Well, I would just say what stands out to me is just how difficult it appears to be for defenses to stop what they're doing. I mean, I watch it week in, week out, huge holes in the running game. I mean, it feels like they're averaging 10 yards a carry. I don't know what it is. And then even when he does throw, guys are just wide open. I mean, you just don't see stuff like this in the NFL. And on some level, like I saw a guy like Mike Florio last night said, if you don't vote for Lamar Jackson for MVP, your vote should be revoked. And I disagree with that. I do think Lamar is the MVP, but I think you can still make a pretty compelling case for Russell Wilson. And I think the biggest reason for that, I'd love to see Russell Wilson in Baltimore's offense. I mean, he's got less interceptions on a bunch more attempts than Lamar, more yards per attempt. You know, only one more loss than Lamar has in a better division, all that stuff. And I don't think it is meant to take stuff away from Lamar Jackson because he's making the throws and he's arguably the most dynamic runner of the football at that position we've ever seen. But, man, I mean, it's hard for me to watch that, Grant, and not be sort of in awe of Greg Roman, what he's doing and making these NFL defenses look that bad, both against the run and the pass.
Ross, respond to this. I have said all year long, and I am converted. I'm a believer. I love this. You know, I watched the 2012 Redskins version of this, which wasn't as good, kind of explode in their face with Robert Griffin. And so I came in with a little bit of a bias, but I like to add information to the file and kind of adjust as I go. I love what I'm seeing, and I want to see this work. But I still think if you get behind 20-7, you know, if a defense knows you're throwing and they don't have to worry about the window dressing of all the fakes and the option in the backfield, I'm not sure that Lamar Jackson beats you that way. Your thoughts to that?
Well, you know, it's funny because as we're talking right now, I am driving to Philly in the rain again. I was on sideline Monday night, but I'm driving to Philly because I'm doing the Army-Navy game tomorrow for Westwood One, the national radio call. And this will be my 9th Army football game this year. And both of these schools really, really struggle when they have to come from behind and are really, really tough to beat when they have a lead. And I think there's actually a lot of similarities between the Ravens and the option attack in the college level. And here's why. You only see what the Ravens are doing once a year. Nobody else in the NFL is doing it. Number two, you can't replicate it in scout team. They don't do it justice. So what happens is it really takes a couple series to even, you know, get up to speed or catch up to the speed and get a better handle on the mesh point, the fakes, and all that stuff. So it feels like every game the Ravens are up 14-0, 21-7, etc. And so then what happens is not only are they able to keep running the ball, but the opposition starts to freak out a little bit, and they get away from what they want to do, and they start throwing it. And that's exactly what happens when you play Army and Navy. And it's the same thing happening when you play the Ravens. And I would agree. I think if the Ravens got behind by a couple scores, I'd be very curious to see what they would do. My guess is, you know, Lamar would still be running it. It would just be more scrambling, you know, from drop back passing. But without question, I think if you're going to beat the Ravens, you're going to have to somehow get off to a fast start and get the lead and make them play from behind.
Ross Tucker, so sharp, and you can see why I love having him on the show. I think that's a super intuitive point. I'll get a thought on Army-Navy from you in a second. But real quick, wanted to hit on the NFC North tilt between the Bears and the Packers Sunday at 1 o'clock. This is one of my favorite five games of the weekend. Green Bay's 10-3, chance to get to 11 wins and position themselves well to win the North. But Chicago's all of a sudden gotten rolling, and I was out on Mitch Trubisky, just didn't pass the eye test. He has had a much better last couple of weeks. Has something changed or clicked for Chicago, or is he just on a heater and we shouldn't be too reactionary?
You know, something's changed because I actually sat in the stands with my wife for the first time ever, because you don't do that as a player, a broadcaster, when the Bears played the Eagles. And I've never seen a quarterback as bad as Trubisky was. Not only me, Grant, but the Eagles fans around me, we were literally apologizing to the Bears fans around us because we felt bad for them that this is what they had, that this is what they were stuck with. And meanwhile, the last couple games, he's played fantastic. He's played really, really well. I actually, you know, picked that on my even money sports betting podcast. I took the Bears with the points. Wouldn't be surprised at all if they win that game outright. Feels like he's playing with more confidence. I think a big factor has been Anthony Miller is winning out of the slot a lot. So whereas before it was just Allen Robinson, now they're winning in multiple spots. It's really helping.
Ross Tucker, Home and Home, a great program you can catch in the mornings. It's something that I check out before we get on the air regularly with us on Grant and Danny. I didn't realize you said this was your ninth Army-Navy game. I can't explain why I love this matchup so much, because at times it can end up being a kind of boring football game. But I get up for this. The pageantry works for me. What's it like covering this thing?
So it's actually my fourth Army-Navy game. It's my ninth Army game this year.
Oh, I got you. I botched that.
Because CBS Sports Network hired me to do a 13-game package for them, including every Army home game. And then I did Army at Air Force, Army at Hawaii. So I did eight Army games on TV. This will be my ninth Army game total. The thing I tell people, it's the greatest rivalry in sports. And if you are not feeling good about our country, yourself, and going to the Army-Navy game, there is just it's unbelievably patriotic. You know, I've been on the field the last 3 years. I'm in the booth this year. But I've been on the field the last 3 years trying to get an interview after the game, and when you're among those players and they're singing each other's alma maters and you understand the decision that they made, because these guys have scholarships, these guys have Ivy League opportunities, but they sign up for 5 years at least of putting themselves in harm's way for us. I love meeting with these kids every Friday in the production meetings, and it's unbelievable. They hate each other and they want to kill each other, and it's their focus all year. And then right after the game, it's like immediate that all changes. especially for the seniors, because they know that they're about to be together on the same team in a much, much more important game. I mean, honestly, I'm getting goosebumps and my eyes fill up just talking to you about it, let alone being there tomorrow.
Yeah, it really does put it all in perspective, and I'll be looking forward to hearing the call tomorrow. That's exciting. It's going to be a heck of a matchup, and I know a lot of our listeners tune in who haven't seen or heard or watched any of those games all year long, and it's a great tradition to have them as the only show in town in mid-December. Ross, thanks for the time. Really appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah, Grant, I got one quick question. Do you have time? One quick question?
Yeah, go for it.
Scale of 1 to 10. First, I want your response. Then, if you had to guess the average response from your listeners, 10 being you are totally sold that Dwayne Haskins is the franchise quarterback for the Redskins for the next 10 years. 1 being there is no chance he's the franchise quarterback for the next 10 years. What number are you? And then what number are your callers?
That is an amazing question. I'm a 2. I don't love what I've seen. I like his toughness. I like his arm strength. I haven't seen a whole lot else yet that I love. I would say they're probably a 4 to a 5, something like that. Here's what's tough, Ross, as you know. They have a terrible supporting cast. They've got a bad offensive scheme. They put them in third and long too much right now. No quarterback would look good. So that's the curve I kind of grade on, and I certainly hope. Maybe I should even give them a 3 because I don't think anyone would play well. But you still, at some point, you got to make a few plays and flash, and we just haven't had a lot of it yet.
Yeah, and I mean, some of the things, and I know you've probably heard some of the same things I've heard out of Redskin Park are concerning. You know, even like the selfie thing, and even like last game, you know, he's kind of like running, and it's like he doesn't know he's about to get master blasted.
Right.
Like, his awareness is very concerning to me because I can't remember. I think they might have been near the goal line, but it's like he's running slow. He's not bracing for contact, and I thought he almost died. I mean, Blake Martinez, I think, totally destroyed him. I think that there's a long way to go from an awareness standpoint. I like the arm, like the accuracy. And I guess my question would be, how far can a guy go in terms of awareness?
Well, and in the pocket, too. Yeah, he's got to come a long way. That's normal, obviously. But I'd like to see, with a little more help and a more friendly offense, what it could look like early next year after an offseason. But right now, you're right, it's a long ways off, man. He does not look like a guy that you normally get at 15. Looks like more of a project. We'll be watching tomorrow. Thanks, buddy.
All right, take care.
Yep, be well. There's Ross Tucker, one of the best in the biz. Love having him on here on Grant and Danny. Guys, I've been telling you Quip's the perfect holiday gift. And for you guys, I think, that are doing some last-minute shopping, this is a winner because everyone's going to want to practice that good, healthy oral care every single day with Quip, an electric toothbrush with sensitive sonic vibrations, timer every 30 seconds, pulsing you through, guiding your routine. Floss dispenser with Quip makes sure that you got the pre-marked string so that you use the right amount. Plus, Quip delivers brush head, floss, toothpaste refills every 3 months. Prepaid deals are going to keep the good habits going all year round. Join 3 million happy Quip customers right now and get up to 20% off during Quip's only sale of the year. Go to getquip.com/2019. Save up to 20%. That's up to 20% off. Getquip.com/2019. Quip's only offer of the year. GETQUIP.com/2019. We've got to get you a breaking news item from Craig Heist. And on the other side, I'll react to that and get you a couple thoughts on what the Nats have to do now with their offseason continuing. But Heisty, take it away. At 1:45 on this Football Friday, presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino, Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. I'll give you my top 5 NFL games of the weekend and my prediction on the Redskins and Eagles. These Skins are 4.5-point dogs at home. Vegas telling you that Philly's only 7 or so points better than Washington, which on the surface may sound low, but if you've watched the Eagles lately, you know they're not very good. Nobody's sitting here telling you the Redskins are going to come out and sling the ball around or rush it all that well. They're not going to score a lot of points. The Eagles were bad for three quarters against the Giants, beat them barely in overtime. That's a two-win team that would pick second in the draft right now. Week before that, the Eagles lost to the Dolphins. I didn't get to see that game. I had to go back and watch it later, but when I heard they'd lost, I thought, wow, that's a stunner. Miami got a lucky win. No, they were better than the Eagles that day. The Eagles are terrible. The week before that, they lost to the Seahawks, and the week before that, they lost to the Patriots. You're hearing a lot of losses there. That's L's in three of their last four, their only win in overtime against the second team in the draft order right now. They're just not very good. Will they beat the Redskins? Yeah, probably. Prediction coming at 145, top five games of the weekend at that time. Here is my three things the Nats need to do between now and the end of the offseason, though. I promised you this earlier when we were talking Anthony Rendon. If you missed our conversation on what they should do at third base now that Rendon is out, if you've got radio.com, use the 24-hour rewind app to go back and enjoy that when we're done today. Of course, you can podcast the show at thefandc.com as well. But number one is fix third base. I'm not willing to go into the season with his Drubal Cabrera after you re-up with him as the guy, as the placeholder, and then I don't want to move Carter Kieboom out of position and have him 20 games in the major leagues if he's not ready because he has to be there. If he ends up at third base this year as your starter, it should be because he's earned it, because it's warranted, because you're better with him playing there, not because he's filling a deficiency and he's duct tape over a broken problem at that position that you can't solve otherwise. So answer the question. Figure it out. Sign Josh Donaldson. Trade for Miguel Andujar. You don't want to bring in a star. Trade for Hunter Dozier. You don't want to bring in someone with a track record over a couple of years like him. Okay, fine. Bring in a higher risk proposition off of an injury who finally broke out like Tommy La Stella. Go get yourself a third baseman. That's number one. Number two, the right side of the infield. Nobody's talking about this, but I think you need help there. As of right now, Howie Kendrick is under contract, and he will play for you probably 110 or so times. Plenty of first, plenty of second, but he's not full-time at either. So you're going to need a second baseman who can occasionally start. Maybe that's as Drubal Cabrera if you re-sign him. And you could say between Cabrera and Kendrick, we are old, we're not very good defensively, but that's our second base spot. Okay, cool, let's get to first base now, where there are still questions. Are you re-signing Ryan Zimmerman? Why hasn't that happened yet? Mike Rizzo was on the show recently, asked him that question directly. He made it sound like it was going to happen. We know Zim wants to be here. He has said if he's not a National, he'll retire. He's not going to go elsewhere. Supposedly, the Nats want him back. You can't count on him for more than probably 65 or 70 games, but if you can keep him healthy going into the playoffs, you saw with the home run off Pedro Baez and the bolt off Gerrit Cole, he can barrel velocity. He can turn pitches around. He's an integral piece of that offense against good pitching in October next year if they make the playoffs again. So I'm cool with Ryan Zimmerman, but that still means you need a left-handed first baseman to platoon with him, or perhaps a right-hander to spell him. If that's Kendrick, great, but if you're telling me he's a part-time second baseman, then you need another guy who can play first and second. I also need the Nationals to understand if two guys that are the average age of about 35 are your starters on the right side of the infield on opening day, you'd better have some depth there. So go get an infielder. If it's your starting third baseman, great, but who can play both first and second as a backup and give those two guys a breather. Because you need to keep them off their feet a bunch, and maybe more importantly, both are going to spend some time on the injured list as we know. Finally, upgrade the bullpen. Right now, Sean Doolittle's your closer. Your setup man is Tanner Rainey. Wander Suero's your seventh inning arm. And other than that, you got a bunch of questions. The Nats need to add not one, but two viable, legitimate, late-inning shutdown arms. You didn't spend on Anthony Rendon. I don't love that, but I'll forgive you. Here's how I forgive you. You go give two pretty big contracts to great relievers. And then those guys with Doolittle are either closing by committee or Doolittle is your closer until he runs into issues, and that's fine. And they set up and they pitch in the seventh and the eighth as firemen. I need Daniel Hudson 2.0, who, by the way, is a free agent on his way out. Now, it looks like Roenis Elias is going to be back. They're sorting some things out with his contract. But point being, if Elias is here and Hunter Strickland's here and those guys are healthier and you think they'll be better off, fine. They're pieces to your bullpen. They're not building blocks in the late innings. You got one of those guys in Doolittle. I think Rainey will be good in the seventh or the eighth inning. I think Suero could help you in the seventh or the eighth. But I want two guys you're spending money on who are proven commodities in the back end. Upgrade your bullpen. The fact that you won with that bullpen last year was amazing, shocking, and completely not replicable. You can never duplicate that again. So don't make Davey Martinez use starters every other game in the playoffs. Fix your bullpen. Those are the three goals. Get a third baseman, add depth on the right side of the infield, fix your bullpen. I'll let you stick with what you're doing in the fifth starter spot with Ross and Foth and Fetty behind Scherzer, Strasburg, Corbin, and Sanchez. But I need some starting pitching depth, and you need those three guys to step up, so they better have banner offseasons. Those are the three things the Nats have to do in the second half of their offseason. Mike Jones of USA Today on the candidates for the Redskins head coaching job. He's got a bunch of names that could make sense for teams that need new bosses on the sideline. Where does Bills Steelers fit into the top five in this weekend's NFL games? I'll rank them for you at 145. Shout out to Danny Rouye, my good pal and co-host who's not here today with strep throat. Hopefully he feels better. Big holiday weekend coming up for him. You don't want to be sick in mid-December. You don't want to be sick ever. Not when you got Christmas parties and things to do. Stinks. Mike Jones, USA Today Sports, longtime friend of the show on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Mikey, how are you, pal?
Hey, I'm doing well, GP. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. You had a great story in the USA Today, and I wanted to get you on to talk about some of these coaching candidates. So let's go category by category. First one was the college ranks. You've got Urban Meyer, Lincoln Riley, David Shaw, James Franklin, and then Tony Elliott, who's a co-OC and a running backs coach at Clemson. Is Urban Meyer like Cowboys or bust, or would he actually be someone talking to a bunch of teams?
I think that he would be more so Cowboys or bust. He himself has been on record saying that that's a job that he would like. I haven't heard any other teams kind of linked to him. Now, you never know if somebody with big pockets and who wants a really authoritative and sexy name could come after him and change his mind, but you know, Urban Meyer has accomplished a lot, but he said that the Cowboys job is one of those jobs that you just have to take if you get that opportunity. So that's why I kind of get that sense that he is kind of Cowboys or bust.
I found it interesting you didn't have Baylor's Matt Rhule on this list. I've heard his name linked already to some different jobs as well. Why was that?
Mm-hmm. From talking to people, they said, yeah, he might get some interest, but that they did not think it was very serious. There are not a whole lot of teams asking around in league circles for opinions of him, which is not the case. Like the other guys here, there's a lot of discussion and conversations about him. Now, is that to say that he won't? No, because last year, Cliff Kingsbury was not one of those guys that was discussed by owners and league people in December, and neither was Zach Taylor. So both of them wound up getting jobs. But for right now, you know, I've asked a number of people about him. They said, yeah, you know, he's a good coach, but, you know, it just doesn't sound like there's a whole lot of interest right now on the part of owners.
The Redskins need a head coach. So do the Panthers. Handful of other teams will as well at the end of the season. We're talking with Mike Jones about some of the names that come up when he talks to league officials about who could be high-end candidates for openings this offseason. You've got the former NFL head coach category. The only guy who's actually won a title in this group is Mike McCarthy. But there are a couple of guys who have had a lot of success. Now, Jim Caldwell's interesting. The Lions have been a lot worse since they blew him out after he went 9-7 a couple times. Maybe he looks better with a couple of years removed now. I look at his four playoff appearances in seven seasons and then 09 Super Bowl, though, and I dismiss a lot of that because Peyton Manning was his quarterback. I think a lot of people do that, but he's got a good resume.
He's got a good resume, you know, and he was the guy that the Ravens brought in to help Joe Flacco get over the hump. He was the guy that, as the offensive coordinator of the Indianapolis Colts, helped Peyton Manning get over the hump. You know, he's a guy that's regarded around the league as a very good quarterback tutor. And, you know, look, he got the Lions to the playoffs, which is something that has not been an easy feat like you said, they have been pretty awful ever since he was gone. So he's a guy. It would be interesting because, you know, he was brought on down there with Miami, and now he's kind of just a consultant. He took a leave of absence because of some health issues. But, you know, we saw Bruce Arians do the same thing, step away because of health issues, and now he's back on the sideline.
You have a couple of guys listed here that I had not thought of as head coaching candidates in a couple of years, and both are intriguing. One is Leslie Frazier. I remember talking to him when he was a head coach. Remember when you and I were covering the skins of the Senior Bowl. He was coaching the other team that year. He was with the Vikings. 11 seasons as a DC. What he's done with the Bills defense is pretty outstanding. And then the other guy is Dennis Allen. He's got some stink on him because he was the head coach of the Raiders at a bad time from 12 to 14. But he's a hell of a DC in New Orleans. He's done a great job with the Saints.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, timing is everything. It's been a little while since he's been a head coach. Same thing with Leslie Frazier. You know, if you are looking for, if you're like the Broncos last year, who decided, no, we don't want to go with that hot, young offensive coordinator type of guy for our head coach. We want a seasoned defensive guy. Then Leslie Frazier and Dennis Allen kind of fit that bill.
Will not having ever called plays and or a little bit of a troubled background with some issues off the field, so to speak, hurt Eric Bieniemy, or are people kind of not worried about those two things?
Well, I mean, not calling plays didn't really hurt Matt LaFleur. And
he went
Zach
to Tennessee
Taylor.
And did it for a year at least.
For 1 year.
Yeah.
From what I've been told, Eric Bieniemy is way more involved in the game planning and play selection than what people realize.
Interesting.
And, you know, he did draw some interest last year, and he wound up losing out on the Cincinnati Bengals job to Zach Taylor. Now a second time through the cycle with more, you know, another year of working with Andy Reid, with Patrick Mahomes. Talk to either one of those two guys, Mahomes or Reid, and they will talk to you about how much the enemy works closely. I went out there in training camp and spent some time talking to him, and I was, even myself was a little surprised about the stuff that he was having Mahomes work on, just himself. So I think that if he gets in front of people, he's a guy that's got a good, you know, type of makeup, mental makeup, good personality and energy. You know, I think, like I said, a second time around. Last year, he was a first-year offensive coordinator. Now he's a second year. I think that his prospects improve.
I'm going to admit that I'm a bit of a sucker here, and I love his just sideline demeanor, and basically that he seems to me like a 40-year-old Pete Carroll. But Robert Saleh, am I saying his last name right?
Yeah, I think so.
The defensive coordinator of the 49ers. Everyone just knows him as the bald guy who tackles his players. I mean, there's nobody in this sport right now higher energy than him. The 49ers have great players, but the results on defense speak for themselves. Is he a rising star? Is he a lock to get a job? How would you quantify his chances?
I don't know if you say a lock, but I do. Yeah, definitely, he is a rising star, and a lot of people do think highly of him. You know, he's worked with guys, not only Kyle Shanahan, he's been in Houston, he's been in Jacksonville under some very good defensive coaches, and has learned. You know, this guy was a finance guy, was working in finance, quit finance, become a coaching intern, and worked his way up as an NFL assistant. Now he's a defense coordinator with a lot of success. He's got a very interesting background. And so, you know, I think that he knows how to relate to the players. And he's just kind of – he carries himself like an everyday dude. And that's one of the appeals to him. And I think that, you know, the further these 49ers go, the bigger his stock rises because that defense is definitely playing lights out.
Oh, they're so good. Mike, thank you very much.
All right, man. Have a good one.
Great story. Check it out in the USA Today from Mike Jones. It's in today's paper and online right now. Grant and Danny on the Fan, the top five NFL games of the weekend ranked. My prediction for Redskins-Eagles to end the show next right here on G&D. Stretch run of this Football Friday presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet. For real sports fans, here's your top five NFL games of the Sunday that will be as we get ready to continue week 15. What a great start we got off to last night with the Baltimore Ravens and the New York Jets and the Lamar Jackson show. I'll go 5-1 for you. The number five game of the weekend in the NFL, the Minnesota Vikings and the Los Angeles Chargers. This is out west. This game is intriguing from a postseason perspective because Minnesota, as well as they've played lately, suddenly has the Rams breathing on the back of their neck within a game, and the Bears, who are playing much better, creeping back into the NFC North picture just two games back of the Vikings. So, Kirk Cousins, an offense getting Adam Thielen back, Stephon Diggs having taken over because of that injury as the unquestioned number one, a banged-up Dalvin Cook, and a defense that is underachieved, they cannot suffer a setback and a regression against a team they should beat in the Chargers. But this game proves to be close because LA is playing much better. They got a bad record, 5-8. But if you look at the Chargers the last few weeks, they beat the Jags by 35. They scored almost 50 this past week. They hung with the Broncos in a game decided by a field goal. I thought they got screwed at the end of the game on a pass interference call that wasn't real a couple weeks ago. And then they took the Chiefs to the brink before that. They're playing their best football of the season right now. The Vikings better know that, going to L.A. for a game that they need. Number four on my list of the best games of the weekend in the NFL, Bills-Steelers. Buffalo plays just about every game close. This game will be boring. There's not going to be a lot of big plays. If you love throwing the football and wide receivers getting open downfield, this one may not be for you. This has 17-14, 20-17 written all over it, but I think it's going to be a slobber knocker. I think this is going to be old-school, physical, shoving match, Big Ten football, between-the-tackle, trench stuff, and I'm here for it. I like the Bills' defense. I think they're really good, and I'll say the same about the Steelers, and both of these teams are going to basically ask their quarterbacks, in the case of Buffalo, Josh Allen, make a few plays with your feet, make a throw or two here or there, but don't beat us. And the Steelers are doing the same thing with Devlin Hodges at this point. That's my number four game because a Buffalo win, they're in really good shape in the AFC East. They're going to make the playoffs, it looks like. A Steelers win, and they are a likely wild card team. But if they lose, they could end up on the outside looking in when it comes to the postseason. Number three game in the NFL for me this weekend. The Rams, who I mentioned, have gotten hot all of a sudden, at Dallas to take on the Cowboys. We'll get to Dallas in a second, but we start with the NFC West. The Rams are not as good as Seattle, and they're not as good as San Francisco. But after beating the Seahawks by 16 this past week, back-to-back games say this team has responded. Remember after they got waxed by Lamar Jackson and the Ravens on Monday Night Football, they lose by 39. Everyone said Sean McVay made the wrong choice with Jared Goff. They never should have paid him. They're in trouble. They're going to miss the playoffs. Maybe they will. They made it tough on themselves. But since then, they've won 34-7 over the Cardinals, 28-12 over the Seahawks. Goff has played much better. Now they go to Dallas for what is effectively a neutral site game against the Cowboys in that huge stadium where visiting fans love to show up. I think they beat the Cowboys, but Dallas is desperate. The Cowboys and the Eagles are all of a sudden even at the top of the NFC East. After Philly came back and beat the New York Giants and the Cowboys this past week lost to the Chicago Bears on Thursday Night Football. So, if they want to win the division with a game coming up against the Giants still, it's now or never time for Dallas. They've got the Rams this weekend, the Eagles in Week 16, and the Redskins in Week 17. They're going to beat Washington. The Eagles game is probably going to determine the division, but if you beat the Rams, you put yourself in pretty good shape to help yourself get to at least a tiebreaker in the worst division in football. The number two game on the schedule this weekend in the NFL, speaking of divisional rivalries, at Lambeau Field, the Bears come to Green Bay. They'll play in the teens in the weather. They're giving out hot chocolate and warm cider for free at the concession stands, because it's going to be so nasty with the wind chill and the wind in the crowd at Lambeau. Suddenly, the Bears, don't look now, have solved a riddle or two offensively. Mitchell Trubisky, who had been just absolutely terrible for a lot of this season, looked much better if you go back to a Thanksgiving against the Lions in a 24-20 win, had a big second half, overcame an early interception. And then against the Cowboys after a pick to start the game, same thing. three touchdowns the rest of the way, 31-point performance. He's trying to prove he should be the starter for the Bears next season. In the meantime, they've got a chance to try to run the table, and they might make the playoffs if they do. This weekend, it's the Packers. That's a tough game, but they still play Minnesota after that. That's the two teams ahead of them in the division. Got a tough schedule with the Chiefs as well. I predict that the Bears take a step backward. Green Bay beats them this weekend. Packers, who are trying to hold off the Vikings one game edge over Minnesota, take a big leap toward winning the NFC North in my number two game of the weekend. Which brings me to the AFC South in game number one. And you know, it's painful for me. I hate the AFC South. It's very boring. But the Texans and the Titans, this is a first-place game. This is the only first-place game on the schedule. Two teams in the Houston Texans, the Tennessee Titans, who are vying for the top spot in the division and a 9-5 record. The winner in the driver's seat for a home playoff game. Easy number one choice this late in the year with a first-place game being played. First of two for these teams in the final few weeks of the year. So there you go. Your top five NFL games of the weekend. As I said, I would give you my Redskins prediction, so let's do it on this Football Friday. 4.5-point underdogs. I think the Eagles will have no problems with Washington. They lay those points. They win a 23-10 game over the Redskins at FedEx Field. If you're going to the game, send me a photo of yourself smiling in the stands just so I know people are happy and are watching football in Landover, Maryland. I'll be there with you. It's going to be a chilly day, and you're going to have to deal with Eagles fans. So let's be brothers and sisters in arms and lock at the elbows. It's going to be ugly. But the few, the proud of us that still show up, we got to keep chopping wood. At some point, more people are going to come. And Kingly Unitas is holding people off in the narrow passageway. Chad Dukes versus the world is up next. Thanks for listening to G&D. We'll be back at full strength on Monday. And remember, Bruce Allen, 10-year anniversary special on the anniversary of his hiring, December 17th, 10 years ago on Tuesday. You'll want to listen from 10 to 2. Thanks for being locked in to the Fan. Have a great weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.